Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Well, if you be seated, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that portion that we read together, John chapter 20. I'll just begin with a question. The question is this: how many things do you really possess in life? And I'm sure that you can start by saying, well, my car, my house, and my various items of jewellery, or perhaps you may even say, and I want you to think of it, I want you to think deeply on this, how many things do you really possess in life? Sometimes we obviously say, this is my wife, or this is my husband. You also say that these are my children. But at the end of the day, I don't want to shock you, but there are very few things that we possess. Because it may be that one day we will pass from this earth, and then our wife and our husband may belong to someone else. I remember being in a meeting just last week, and we had a number who were there who had lost their children. They had lost their children while very young. And one of them said, I asked, "How did you cope?" And they said, "Well, I came to a place where I realized that my child was only loaned to me for a very short time." And then you begin to realize that in this life, what we have very little. One day we will be separated from everything. You have very little that is your own. The very breath that you breathe has been given to you by God. It's a gift which he gives that you should breathe for him. The clothes that you wear, the money that you have, it's all his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. There's only certain things you can call your own. Your sin is your own. Your guilt is your own. And the burdens that you have with it are your own. But when you read this book, we tell us that there's something else that we can possess. It's quite incredible. When you read this book where we're told of this news, which concerns then God himself. And when you read of it, God tells Abraham, I shall be your shield and your exceedingly great reward. When you read this book, you know that there's that famous and well-known Psalm, Psalm 23. And I wonder if you can say this, even this day, that the Lord is my shepherd. And actually, when you read that very very word my in the scriptures, it's a word of possession. God says that you are my special people, that he possesses. And so it is this day in our little thoughts which we have had, and they've been many, where we've spoken of Jesus, my shepherd, my brother, friend, prophet, priest, and King. And now once again, even this day, my Lord and my life. And just that very verse there, in verse 28, where you find now that Thomas makes this great confession. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And today there is something that you can know. And we're told that when you become a Christian, do you know that God will come into your life and he will never leave you? There's something you can never be parted from. And it's just that thought that if you could say today, to ask you the question, can you say to Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God? And first of all, very simply, the challenge that we have to say these words is the challenge, you see, of unbelief, which even Thomas experienced. You may be here this morning, and you may be like Thomas in many ways. You're not someone who is against Jesus Christ. You're very much for him. Actually, Thomas was a person who was deeply committed to our Lord and Saviour. You can read that, for example, in John chapter 11 and verse 16, where there was an opportunity where Jesus was speaking about Lazarus, who was dead, and they didn't quite get it. And then in verse 16, Thomas, who is called the Twain, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. And these words which you've got now are words, first of all, of Thomas, who's called the Doubter, but he loved the Lord Jesus. For a righteous man, one would even dare to die. For a good man, and Thomas knew that Jesus was a good man. But he had great problems in believing who Jesus really was. You read it there in John chapter 14, when Jesus says, look, believe in God, you believe also in me, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then he speaks, and where I go? And Thomas says, where do you go? We don't know the way. He was one, after being with him for so many years, did not really understand of who Jesus was. And I want us to look at that challenge this morning of what it is to come to faith, to believe and to be able to call Jesus as my Lord and as my God. And what happens in this account is this, is that Jesus has risen from the dead, and he showed himself first to Mary Magdalene. He showed himself then to the women. He showed himself then to the two on the Emmaus Road. Then he showed himself there in the upper room, but Thomas wasn't with them. And so we pick up the story, is how it happens in verse 24. Now Thomas, called the Twain, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And when then, when Thomas enters the room, and they tell him that, they said to him, we've seen the Lord. Well, imagine what that must have been like. We've seen the Lord. You find it here in verse 25. Thomas says, unless I see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails, and put my hand into the side, I will not believe. And that may be you even this day, that you come to a place where even though there may be many around you, yet you will not believe. You will not believe, even though this book has many prophecies and many old prophecies in the Old Testament that declare the very person of the child which was to be born. He shall be called the Everlasting Father. And although there are many prophecies which are given speaking of the one which would be crucified and the one which would die and prophecies that he would rise again, Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and perhaps even the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. Jesus had been with them for 3.5 years. For the last 6 months, he'd been repeating this to them time and time again as they walked to Jerusalem, that the Son of Man must be betrayed by the chief priests and by the scribes, and he would be killed, and he would rise again on the third day. And Thomas says, I'm not even going to believe, even though he had heard those words of the Lord Jesus, and though he had seen the miracles that Jesus had the power to rise people from the dead. And Thomas wasn't going to believe. I'm not going to believe, no matter how many testimonies were to be given. Can you imagine what it must have been like to walk into that upper room? On that day, Thomas was not with them the first time. He knew how they were left, totally dejected, how they had been so despondent, overcome with grief, sorrow. The bottom had fallen out of their world. And then he walks into the room. Everything had changed. The joy, the peace, the excitement. I mean, what would you be like if you had seen someone buried and then they appear to you once again? And there it is. And although he knew that there'd been some change before him in these disciples, it can happen. And it may be today there's the challenge, just the challenge of this very claim of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. And you can say, well, I'm going to read this book and it's going to tell you of who he is. You believe, don't you, that Jesus Christ, in everything that he says, is true. And he's the one who spoke beforehand how he was to die. And you know that. You know and you have seen, have you not, of those in your family and friends around you. Things have changed, and yet you still don't believe. You know the reality and the power of this in one's very experience where you live. But you simply will not believe. Now, don't think that you're some kind of modern man. Please don't think for a moment this is just, you know, some kind of, you know, attitude which I'm more educated, I'm more wise. You know, we've come to a place where we don't believe such things anymore. Listen, you've got a twin. Thomas is your twin brother. It may not be by blood, but I tell you, it's in attitude and heart. It's in this very aspect, is it not? The great 21st century rational, scientific skeptic. Unless you give me the proof, I will not believe. That is Thomas for you. Unless I see him, unless I touch him, unless I put my finger into the palms of his hands. That's not anything new. That's the condition of the natural human heart. And you can be part of the people of God and you don't actually come and know that Jesus is the Lord. And you know something else? You may not even be against him, and your heart may even be willing to be for him, but you still don't know that he's the Lord. It's to do with that unbelief. Now I want you to look for a moment in verse 26, how the Lord Jesus then comes and, creates faith, really, in Thomas, and how he comes to this great revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Now, after 8 days, in verse 26, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Now, there's a wonderful reality that Jesus, he is with his people. He is found amongst his people. And if you want to know and find the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes to his people. He comes to his people for two reasons. He comes, obviously, to comfort them and to establish them once again in the truths. He comes also to deal with those who do believe, but also to correct those who don't believe. And the Lord Jesus has something to say. His words are simply this: peace, and peace to you. I want you to think upon that, because the Lord Jesus Christ comes to his people, and he wants each and every one of you here this day to come to know him. No, he wants you to come to feel him. He wants you to come to have faith in him. He really does. Because when he comes, you see, on that second occasion to Timothy, he says to Timothy, "Peace to you." And as he speaks, "Thomas, reach your finger here." Those are wonderful words. I hope they speak to people today. There may be someone in this very congregation this day. You've got all the unbelief. You've got all the lack of assurance. You don't know that your sins are pardoned. You don't know that you're forgiven with God. And Jesus says to you, "Reach out your hand and touch her." The Lord Jesus says, "You come and look at my pierced wounds." And if you want to know that you're pardoned today, look at these hands which were pierced for your sins. Come and know that it was blood which was shed. And there will be those of you here this day, and you may have those questions, and you don't know that God loves you. And Jesus says to Thomas, he says to you, "Put your finger into my side, into the hole of my heart, where out flowed blood and water. And it was pierced for you. And I can say to you, you put your finger there, the love of God is revealed to us." There'll be those of you here today, and you don't know that you could ever be clean with God. Put your finger here. Water flowed from you. Blood flowed from me. That you could come and you could know him this day. He wants you. If you would come to him by faith, and you could know of that reality that he's come to give, and he'll be assured in your faith. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to Thomas here, "Don't be unbelieving. Be believing." He wants you to believe. You come. And you can do that. But I need you to look very carefully. What the Lord Jesus Christ does to Thomas is it's the great revelation, you see. It is the massive revelation. It's the revelation of the peace that we've got with God. You're not sure? Come to the crucified one. Come to the one who has suffered for our sins. Come to that place and see his wounds. But I want you to look that what happens is this, is that Thomas does not put his finger into those hands, neither into his side. But there was simply enough in that word of God. Please listen. Because what we've got here now is the incredible revelation that Jesus who died and who rose again, but it's the revelation, listen, it's the revelation really of who he is, of who he is. Now I got great news for you today. I can say to you the wonderful news of Jesus Christ is this, is that the grave has been conquered, that death has been vanquished, that hell has been plundered. I can show you that his life, which is forevermore, I can tell you, look, there's something which you can know, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and that he is now victor over the grave, and there is one this day who has the answer to a world of death and a universe which is dying. But it's the great proof, not only that death is vanquished, but it's the great proof, is it not, of who he is. That's what you read there. There it is in verse 30, for example. And truly Jesus did many of the signs in the presence of his disciples, not written in these books, but these are written. What? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life. That wonderful, wonderful reality of who Jesus Christ is. Now, let me just explain to you for one moment. When Thomas hears these words, because they're words which just don't show us a figure of a person who's conquered death. 8 days before, Thomas had spoken these very words. Unless I see the nail prints, unless I see and put my finger in the hands and in his side. When Jesus spoke those words, he knew that there was one who knows everything about his heart, and there's one who hears every conversation, and there was one who is present even though he could not be seen. And it's that great revelation of who Jesus really is. And you know, today, as you've come to this place, it happens, it really does. You have questions on your heart, doubts within your soul, things that you have trouble with. And then when that preacher begins to preach, it's not just his words, but God is in the house and he knows, and you've heard him and he has spoken to you, and you realize he's not just a man. And here's this great then confession. And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Let me just for a moment see, it is that wonderful confession of what he is speaking about, claiming. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ had actually made this claim on a number of occasions. For example, you can read it there in John chapter 8 and in verse 58, as clear as crystal. And although you may have problems in understanding what he said, the Jews around him definitely did not have problems in what he said, because Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Do you get it? There's one who came to Moses in the burning bush, and Moses says, "Who shall I say sent me?" I am the one who is always, the one who is present, the one who exists, the one who is always there. The Lord Jesus, did he not, when he was arguing with the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, "Well, you tell me, how was it that David said in the psalm, written by the power of the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand'?" And here now you see Jesus Christ. Thomas makes this great confession, and the great confession is this: "My Lord, my God." And when you read this account in God's word, there is only one God. He is the Lord God. It's what you see then, people have come to know, that you actually sang this morning, my God, when I in awesome wonder. And you've come to know that reality, which is of him, the claim of who Jesus Christ is. I want you to look at something else this morning. I want you to look at the confession, that you could actually say this yourself. That very confession that he makes, he knows the doubts. He knows the situation of the human heart. He reads every one of us. He calls every one of us to draw near. He wants you not to be unbelieving, but believing. You know that there is one who speaks to you. And then you have this confession which is made. Now this confession is important, because when Thomas makes it, I want you to look carefully at what he says. Thomas said to him, My Lord, my God. And it's not that you're just saying that Jesus is the Lord or that Jesus is God. There are people who can make that confession. They do that every Sunday morning. They can make these statements. You may even have come to the knowledge, you believe there's a God. You may even have come to believe that Jesus is God. But you need to come to this confession where you personally know yourself that he is your God and he's my God, my Lord. And as we sang here, my God, when I in awesome wonder, the Lord's my shepherd. And I want you to look at that verse especially, because it says in verse 28, and he said to him, he is looking to him, to Jesus, when he says these words. I say that because I don't want to be irreverent, and people will be judged for this, but I was watching some pre-match interview after one football match just this week. And in the interview, I couldn't count how many times when the interviewer said, what do you think? What do you think of that goal? My God, he said, what a goal. He said, how do you think your team? My God, he said, they were good. And then he said, my God. And people do it, don't they? Every time something happens, my God, you'll be judged for that. It's a blasphemy. But when Thomas comes, he looked at him. And it wasn't some expletive. It's that where he acknowledges that Jesus, you, are my Lord and my God. Now that's very important. And I tell you why it's important. It's because of this. It's because this is one of the most clearest statements and affirmations. Actually, it's encouraging, isn't it? That it was on the lips of Thomas, who is then known as the doubter. But what's interesting is this, is the response of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus does not rebuke him, does not stop him. Whenever you've got the JW coming round your door and says there's nowhere in Scripture that Jesus claims to be God, well, I've given you two verses already, and there's a number of others. Well, you can actually turn to this one. That when you see Thomas comes and speaks to him, he doesn't say, no, you shouldn't come and say that. Or you shouldn't then give me that adoration. And you shouldn't come and worship me and show me that affection. No, the Lord Jesus comes, does he not? Takes it all. Now you're only to worship the Lord your God. The Lord your God is one. The scriptures tell us the first commandment, there will be no other, that you will have no other God before him. You'll be judged for that if you have anything before him. But you can come to Jesus this day and you can say, my Lord, because he is. And my God, because he is. And he's the one who's the maker, the creator of all things. And he came into this earth and you need to come and say it. Because the scriptures tell us, if we make that confession, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's not just empty words. For Thomas to make that confession today, my Lord, my God. For those Christians to make that confession in Romans chapter 10, that meant they said this, Caesar's not Lord. This world is not my Lord and my God. There are people who die for that. Thomas will die for it. He'll die for this confession. His life will be changed for this confession. And if you've come and you can say, even with the hymn writer, my prophet, my priest, my king, my Lord, my master, you're the one I'm going to obey and serve and give my life to, the one I worship, the one I adore, I come to him, I come to you. It may cost you and many people in this world, that confession costs them their life. But never else, he is your God. Now, I know there will be those this morning who will say something like this. Well, look, that's your personal, you know, that's your personal faith. Yeah, it is personal. Definitely mine. I definitely believe. I know that for certain. But when Thomas makes this statement, well, you may believe what you want, but I assure you, there is only one Lord, and there's only one God. And if I could make that confession, and you need to make it because whatever else people believe, there is one that we have to answer to, and there's one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But you need to do it this morning before that day comes when all will have to come to that very point, and those will come, one with judgment, one with salvation. But look, whatever you may claim, this is my Lord. My Lord who was crucified. My God bled for me. My Lord laid down his life. My Lord took on flesh. My Lord suffered. My Lord who's conquered the grave. My Lord who lives forever. Can you say that? Wonderful. No one else can say it. They may claim what they want, but this is my Lord and God. And who would not want to make him one's Lord and God of one's life? What a God. What a God. What work he's done. What wonders that we've known. Do you know, there's a call. He wants you to believe, and it changes. It's one of the things that changes in your life is when you come to make that confession. I know it's the challenge of unbelief. I can't make you believe today, but Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who comes to you, encourages you, speaks to you, calls you to trust in him, to believe in him. And he wants you to believe. And what happens is this, is that he wants you to turn to those scriptures, and he wants you to be believing. He wants you to listen to his words and be believing. He wants you to hear the very words which he says, I have power to lay down my life. I had power to take it again. And these things are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. And that you come to believe of what Thomas then has spoken. Very interesting. Thomas says, I will not believe until I see, until I touch, and till I feel. And then Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Look, Thomas had to see him. Thomas had to see him because Thomas was an apostle. And every apostle had to see the risen Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. But you and me, we're to believe on what those apostles have taught what God's word is written, for the faith which they delivered, for the blood in which they lay down, for the testimonies they have, and for that work of God in our lives. Look, this day, everything changes in your life when you just, the penny drops, and you realize that Jesus Christ is not just a man or a good man, but he is Lord and God. But not only that, he's then yours. He says, happy, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Those who love him and have joy which is unspeakable. You can know him today. You can know him in your life this day. And of all things we need, don't we? We need him as our Lord.